You are listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. Thank you for clicking play or for downloading this podcast. I really appreciate it. My name is Russ, and I self-publish a mini comic book called Amazing Arizona Comics. It's a superhero satire of Arizona news, history, and culture. I've been self-publishing it since 2010, and this podcast is kind of a supplemental chronicle of my adventures in self-publishing and being a creative in the Metro Phoenix area, well, in Arizona at large, really. And I haven't recorded one of these podcasts in quite some time because I spent the last few months of 2016 wrapping up my monthly year-long epic in which Santa Claus joined my heroes, specifically my flagship character, Speed Cameron, the living speed camera, as he attempted to reconnect with his humanity. So last year's monthly issues were basically like a buddy cop or buddy superhero adventure in which Santa and Speed Cameron fought holiday-oriented foes like like drunken leprechauns on Mill Avenue, or an uber-patriotic, perhaps to a fault, spirit of Uncle Sam, and a runaway sentient turkey. This adventure culminated in issue number 30, which I wrapped in January, and so now I'm slowly but surely working on the next issue. But you can imagine self-publishing a monthly mini-comic took quite a bit of time, so I took a break from the podcast, which was only a few episodes deep at the last few months of 2016, to get those issues completed. Now that I'm working at a more reasonable pace, I thought I'd revisit the podcast idea. But rather than focus on timely topics, the issues of the day, so there's a pressure to get this done, I thought I would pull the lens back a little bit and focus more on my general inspirations, the stuff from my childhood and adult experiences that goes into the creation of a mini comic, and specifically Amazing Arizona Comics. So this episode, of course, is a celebration of Arizona's birthday. I'm going to drop this on February 14th. Which means it's Arizona's 105th birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike. Happy birthday to you.
That was the Monkees, my favorite band of all time, and undoubtedly the topic of a future Amazing Arizona Comics Inspirations podcast, singing happy birthday in their movie Head to Mike Nesmith, who then responded with what you heard. The same thing goes for Christmas. Yes, indeed, it's Arizona's birthday. Now, I'm not an Arizona native. Apparently, only one-third or so of folks living in Arizona right now are natives to the state, so I'm not an uncommon a citizen of the valley. In fact, this is quite a destination city, and I believe it always has been, at least from Phoenix's boom in the 50s, from virtual citrus grove to now sprawling metropolis, sometimes the fifth, sometimes the sixth largest capital city in America, depending on the year, I guess, in the census. But we moved here when I was 8 years old in 1988, when I was in the fourth grade. So when we moved here, we lived very briefly with my grandparents while my parents sought our own house, which was then built over in Peoria in 83rd and Thunderbird. If you're familiar with the Arizona area, this will make sense. If not, perhaps you could relate it to where you live. This was before there was an Arrowhead Mall. This was before there was really anything on that corner other than sprawling dirt fields. In fact, the high school that I went to, Centennial High School, wasn't built yet. My grandparents' house was one of the first in the neighborhood that now surrounds Centennial High School. I remember one morning when we were staying with my grandparents, we heard a roar outside. And when we stepped into the front yard, a hot air balloon was landing in the vacant lot across the street. There was enough room for this big hot air balloon to stage an emergency landing. I guess they were having some technical difficulties. So they landed there. One of the guys in the basket had a bottle of champagne that he signed for my dad. It was such a spectacle to me, not just, of course, these guys emerging with champagne as if they were celebrating a hot air balloon launch, but the hot air balloon itself descending from the sky, just having that much room to land, it was an amazing feat. It was quite a spectacle to me, and it was indicative of what Arizona was at that time, Peoria, North Peoria, however you want to describe it, virtually a barren landscape as suburbia was being built in the mid to late 80s. And my childhood ended up being infused with those elements of having big empty lots to play in, and then suddenly houses are being built. Watching my high school get built just a few years before I ended up attending it. Very strange, very unique, and undoubtedly indicative of my impression of the state, having moved from Connecticut, Stratford, Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut adjacent. I think Bridgeport, Connecticut was a joke in Family Guy as one of America's great ghettos. Well, then, yeah, I was born in the ghetto.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries.
I was a ghetto kid. And when we moved here, the contrast from dense city, like Bridgeport is, to developing suburbia, like Peoria was, well, it just created this dichotomy in my mind. And fortunately, Peoria was a relatively safe place to grow up, because as those houses were built and friends moved in, we could spend our hours after school riding bikes to one another's houses, of course, running into those fields, building forts, throwing dirt clods at one another, finding abandoned trailers and hanging out in there, playing in the houses that were being built. That's a fond memory I have, these wooden skeletons that would soon be neighborhoods, but at the time they just looked like big rib cages of things to come, and we would go in there and play hide-and-seek, or a ditch-em, we called it. Where someone was it, and you would just run away. It was basically hide and seek. I don't know if kids nowadays experience that kind of after school play, because one, where they live is completely developed, or two, they have these handheld devices, of course, that distract them. And this is where I sound like a crazy old man. But that was Arizona to me in my childhood: big fields, tumbleweeds, riding bikes, walking on fences. Like, we practiced to be ninjas, so we would have more advanced dirt clod fights when we were defending our forts from other kids that had their own forts. We would, like, walk the 6-foot fences that surrounded everyone's backyards for balance, and like stamina or durability or something. It was our own virtual Batman Begins. But that's what Arizona was. It was like one big Peoria was like one big playground. And I loved it for that. In retrospect, perhaps I didn't appreciate it as much at the time because I was in the moment as a kid. But thinking back, man, what a cool place to grow up, because I had those opportunities. Of course, it was here in Arizona as well that I rode my bike to my first comic book store, Stalking Moon Comics, it was called. It was on 67th and Peoria. And when we heard of this comic book store, I think my mom or one of my friend's parents took me there first, and we kind of mapped the route in the car as we went. I made mental notes of what to pass, where to turn, so when we were on our bikes, we could get there on our own. And sure enough, we did. It was a long ride, but the more we did it, week after week, the more we were used to it, and the distance wasn't quite as strenuous for us. Of course, then we learned, like, neighborhood shortcuts, too, so we would cut through neighborhoods. We would pass other elementary schools. Oh, that's where that school is. That's where that school is. Oh, okay, cool. And so that kind of getting out of your own neighborhood and going into other neighborhoods, meeting kids from other schools, that became a thing. And again, this happens in cities all over the country, I'm sure, but for me that was definitive to Arizona, to Peoria, to Glendale and Phoenix specifically. Now, when I entered high school and my friends started driving, we saw more of the city. And there are some specific Phoenix areas and myths that we began to encounter head on. The one I remember most poignantly is, of course, Van Buren. That's where the ladies walked. The ladies of the night that were selling their bodies. Prostitutes, the adult men called them. I don't know why I'm talking like this. But we had heard through the grapevine that there were prostitutes on Van Buren. I don't know where we initially heard that story or that myth that if you go to Van Buren, you can pick up a prostitute like in the movies. But we were fascinated by this. We often made jokes about it as if we knew what was going on down there. But of course, we didn't drive or anything. It was just an urban legend. But when a friend of mine was able to drive, we drove in his Carmen Ghia down to 17th Avenue in Van Buren. Now, we were youth group attendees then, avid churchgoers. So the mentality was, we want to see where the sinners dwell and maybe shine a light, you know? So when we got off on Grand at 7th Avenue and we started heading into the deep avenues, your 15th Avenue, your 19th Avenue. When we reached the corner downtown, we saw clusters of women. Just like you would see in the movies, or nowadays maybe in the pages of like Sin City or something like that, there were literal small mobs of hookers. And we couldn't believe it. We drove too fast for them to approach the vehicle. But yeah, they were there, sure as day, or night in this case, selling their bodies. We couldn't believe it. Dressed scantily, short skirts, denim jackets, bright colored hair, crazy, clownish makeup from our perspective at the time. Some of them gorgeous, some of them maybe not even women. We were baffled by this. We were living like a Vice Squad movie. But we were only there for a few minutes, of course. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne, you don't have to wait. Again, we were avidly religious. And a friend of mine, the friend of mine that was driving his Carmen Ghia, he was Vietnamese. Now, I'll never forget this. He had a penchant for vintage military regalia and garb. He liked to collect and wear vintage military jackets and things, maybe ahead of his time. But when we were downtown, we thought, you know what? Why don't we buy a meal for a homeless man and talk to him about Jesus? So we found a guy on 16th Street and Van Buren. And I remembered this vividly when I moved back to Arizona as an adult, because I passed the very same Jack in the Box where we bought him a meal. And it struck me, this is that corner. This is where that happened. So we bought him a meal. We returned to him at a bus stop bench or something. And as he ate, we talked to him, slowly confidently, but simply too, about our beliefs and in Jesus, and perhaps him considering the road to salvation. Obviously not physically or geographically, but at least spiritually and emotionally. And as we were talking to him, he looked at my friend and he said, "I killed you." And I was like, "What?" And my friend was like, what do you mean? And he looked at my friend and he said, "I killed you." And I realized, my friend, I told you, he's Vietnamese. He's wearing military garb. This homeless man was a veteran, and he started to flash back to Vietnam. He started having crazy flashbacks, threw the food into the street, stood to his feet, and just started yelling into the night, "I killed your family! I burned your village!" That's when we walked back to my friend's Carmen Ghia and and it got as fast out of downtown Phoenix as we possibly could. But I remember that as my first adventure into downtown Phoenix, where the big buildings were. This is what a city looks like. And it was just a little cluster of skyscrapers. You know, it still is, really, compared to other cities. But it was exciting to be there, and it was my first impression of Metro Phoenix, downtown, the grid, where I live now. Mill Avenue was another place that was absolutely mythical to us. It was legend. That's where the college kids hang out after class. They drink, they party, there are nightclubs there. So again, when my friends were able to drive, we started cruising Mill Avenue. 16, 17 years old, windows down, and ironically blaring classical music, just to be funny, because everybody else was bumping their rap or hip-hop of the day. Maybe there were audible shreds, you would hear little snippets of, like, Nirvana, or I guess Gin Blossoms, having come from Tempe, the Refreshments from Tempe. You'd get a bit of that grunge sound as you're driving down the street, but there was a lot of rap, people showing off their cars and stuff. And we like to blare classical music. I guess it would have been K-Bach or whatever the classical station here is, 89.5. We never picked up any ladies playing that music, but we tried our best. And yeah, we would cruise Mill Avenue. I went there a couple of times with a youth group to pass out these poetry zines. And speaking of zines, I've mentioned this a lot lately in other podcasts or interviews about my comic. Mill Avenue seemed to be the hub of that kind of DIY anarchist zine activity. You couldn't walk down the street without walking over a zine. And some of them were the religious zines we were passing out. Others were handmade, staple-bound books that I would pick up and take home and devour. Homemade comics, zines, amazing little periodicals, just obviously copied on a Xerox somewhere, and then spread around Mill. Like it was the heart of a revolution. Nobody cared that they were giving away this stuff for free. They just wanted it to be consumed. And I was consuming it. I still have some of this stuff. To this day, it inspires my work on Amazing Arizona Comics. And I picked up this stuff first in the mid-90s on Mill Avenue, where we knew the action was. Certainly not in Peoria, where we were growing up. Like I said, Arrowhead Mall hadn't been built when I moved here. When it was built, we thought maybe this would be the place to cruise, the place to hang. But it was very clean, very commercial, very new. It didn't quite have the character a place like Mill Avenue had, like downtown Phoenix had. Even Metro Center was starting to tilt toward ghetto. And so cruising down there was kind of cool, because you never knew what would happen. These are my earliest memories of Phoenix. Of course, it was here in the Valley that I first went to a coffee shop. A seminal part of my life now, going to coffee shops, drawing, writing, meeting people, feeling connected to the community, overhearing conversations and stuff. It all started in Glendale. One of my favorite coffee shops of all time, of course, the First Cut is the deepest. It was called the Global Grind. It was on 59th and Greenway. I think there's an Asian massage parlor now. But I don't know how we found it. We just ended up hanging out there a lot. I would get Italian sodas mostly because I didn't have a taste for coffee yet. I think it probably developed there over time. But I would get Italian sodas, peach or raspberry Italian sodas. My buddies would get Cokes or coffee, and we'd sit around the table doodling on napkins, coming up with comic book ideas or ideas for zines or books we wanted to see published someday. It was the stuff of high school legend, you know? Nerds creating their own subculture, their own geeky languages and literature. This is where we talked about girls. And when we found out that there was an open mic there, I said, well, we got to come back one night so I could read some poetry on the open mic. So at 15, 16 years old, I experienced my first poetry open mic at the Global Grind. Got up there, read a few poems, got some claps. You know, I created like a set list, like I was a rock star, like a musician. And I read at the open mic and absolutely loved it. Of course, I wouldn't revisit that passion until I lived in California, and I went to Two Idiots Peddling Poetry in Orange, California. But man, oh man, I got the taste for it here in Phoenix, in Glendale, Arizona, where the Global Grind hosted its monthly open mic. Another aspect of Arizona culture that impressed me as a kid was the climate. Of course, it's hot as hell here. That is what Arizona is perhaps best known for. It's the desert. But during the summer times, we experience these insane monsoons. Now, they're not quite as dramatic in my adulthood as I remember them from my childhood. But I'll never forget the first time, in the midst of a blistering, dry, hot day, the sky turned red, the palm trees started to sway in heavy wind, and a light rain started to fall. And I asked my parents, what's going on outside? Well, it's a monsoon. It's like a summer storm right before nightfall. The way the sky looked, the way the clouds were building and blowing overhead, it reminded me of the scene in Ghostbusters where the ghosts take over New York. So I put on my plastic proton pack. I went outside, looked up at the sky, and I remember saying, this is it! This is definitely it! And I probably did that the next dozen times a monsoon blew through the valley. It still occurs to me when I'm in the middle of a monsoon driving around town that this is it! This is definitely it! You never know what's going to happen during one of these desert storms. So that's one of my fondest childhood memories here in Arizona. Of course, talking about the heat, a lot of time was spent in the pool. Now, as an adult, I'm not a fan of swimming. I think we just did it too much when I was a kid. I'm kind of over it. But there was something magical about getting out of the pool, smelling the chlorine on your skin, your wrinkly fingers, and then eating a salty potato chip. For some reason, there's something very vivid and memorable to me from my childhood about getting out of the pool, feeling kind of clean, but also very chemical, you know, and then reaching into a bag of potato chips and having that first salty taste on my tongue. I don't know if it was the chlorine bleaching my taste buds, and so it was like I was tasting a potato chip for the first time or what. But man, oh man, I remember that very fondly. So in 1997, I graduated from Centennial High School and moved to California, where I pursued college, of course, and career for about 12 years. I moved back here in 2010. The cost of living in California was too much for a single guy to bear, among other reasons. So I was experiencing the Valley as an adult, really, for the first time, as an adult resident for the first time. And I lived in the East Valley in Mesa. In just an apartment that was about $150 less than the apartment I was living in California, and about 3 to 4 times as large. So I felt like a king, even though my annual income hadn't really changed. Of course, the cost of living is just that dramatic. I didn't have a car yet, so I was riding my bike around town and familiarizing myself with Mesa. One afternoon, I found Main Street, downtown Mesa, and I got the sense that there was a bit of culture here. There was a poetry reading at a pizzeria, and it reminded me of not just the Global Grind, as I had mentioned, but the other one I had avidly attended in Orange County, Two Idiots Peddling Poetry, and I plugged into the poetry community. I started self-publishing Amazing Arizona Comics, and I've told that story in numerous other podcasts or interviews, so you could find its origins there, but it was first sold at a shop there on Main Street in Mesa, Evermore Nevermore, that was run by my still good friend, Bob Leeper. You could find Evermore Nevermore online as a hub, a virtual community of Arizona creatives now. And it was there that I felt plugged in. The light rail had just been built. It was still relatively new in 2010, so I took that to downtown Phoenix, the mythical metropolis that we had visited as youngsters so many years ago, bumping into homeless and hookers and everything in between, I guess. And I found that there was some gentrification going on. What was once kind of the ghetto, that bad back alley downtown scene, was now kind of rife with murals and poetry and comic book stores like Samurai and All About Books and Comics. I was able to discover the scene that was just beyond my reach as an adolescent that couldn't drive in high school. And as an adult, of course, I eventually bought a car, moved downtown, and I'm still there because I love it down here. First of all, the city is laid out in a grid. It's practically impossible to get lost. And because my day job requires some driving, I've memorized quite a bit of the city, not just Central Phoenix, but East and West Valley, where I grew up, and then where I moved to when I returned as an adult. So my knowledge of the valley geographically, I would say, is above average. But to see buildings change from what they once were to what they are now. I remember as a kid, we would, again, with our fascination with coffee shops, we would visit the coffee plantation that's in the Biltmore area. And when we exited the 17 freeway on Camelback, there was a strip club to our right. I don't remember what it was called, and I don't remember the exact intersection, but it was one of those neon signs that always attracted my, you know, young adult eyes, my adolescent eyes. Well, that place is clearly gone now, and it's obviously like an auto body shop or a Filiberto's or something like that. So to see how the city has in some ways cleaned up, and then in other ways stayed the same, or in fact even plummeted demographically, economically, and so on. It's interesting to observe. I'm not expecting to go viral in the desert, but I can live and breathe and see the sun. The point of this episode of Amazing Arizona Comics Radio was to reminisce on some fond memories of Arizona for Arizona's birthday. I mean, obviously everything in my young life from 8 years old onward is tied to this Grand Canyon state, but I don't want to tell too many stories because they will cross over with other topics I explore in this series of Amazing Arizona Comics inspirations. I mentioned the Monkees. I'll, of course, talk about them. He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. The next episode, of course, we'll talk about McDonald's and how McDonald's has been wildly influential in my life. And, of course, that all ties into having lived in Arizona. McDonald's actually goes back to my youth in Connecticut, but of course, here in Arizona as well, being a kid at 8 years old, popping McNuggets like candy. I guess they are really just sweet chicken candy. So, yeah, I don't want to get too crazy with the anecdotes here because I'll probably just tell the same stories again and again. But the ones I told in this specific episode, as we approach the half hour mark now, they deal specifically with the character of Arizona. You know, it's often perceived as the Wild West. Arizona is still trapped in the Old West. It's a conservative state. But I got to tell you, living in the heart of the city, and I've said it in other media, there is a progressive element here. Not necessarily politically progressive, but just forward-thinking, concerned about the community, concerned about their neighborhoods, their neighbors specifically. And it's inspiring, sometimes a little daunting in trying to find my place in it. Having spent so many of my formative years and adult years in California, I feel like I'm bringing that mentality to the Valley. And perhaps sometimes it's like trying to fit a round peg in a square hole. But you know what? The thing about Arizona is, and specifically Phoenix, it's the youngest state in the continental United States. Phoenix, the youngest capital city. So I often say that it's still finding its voice creatively and culturally. These are just our adolescent years compared to the New England states. And as settlers moved westward and finally gave Arizona its statehood in 1912, this is a young state comparatively. And so too, we're experiencing growing pains politically, creatively, artistically, even geographically. We're still very much like that wooden structure of a house that my friends and I used to play in over on 83rd and Thunderbird. You know, before the insulation was put in, before the cement and whatever else goes into the architecture of the walls and whatnot, you see the shape of it, but it's not quite fully developed and inhabitable yet. That's coming. and it's exciting to be a part of it as a creative force here. It's exciting to make a mini-comic in the midst of it here, because as the state develops and its culture evolves, so too can my comic as a reflection of that. That's the whole point of Amazing Arizona Comics. It's Arizona's story with superheroes. So thanks for listening to Amazing Arizona Comics Radio. Like I said, the next episode we'll talk about McDonald's, from the food to the fantasy that goes into those delicious $1.39 cheeseburgers. My name is Russ. You can follow me on Instagram at AmazingAZComics, and you can find Amazing Arizona Comics at AmazingArizonaComics.com. I'll catch you next time.